Okay, welcome back. There is a tremendous amount of activity all over this planet, and certainly one of the biggest stories that is not being discussed, except here and a few other places, is what's happened and what is happening to the Catholic Church, and by extension, certainly the Catholic faith. It is under attack, and all of you who listen to Father Paul Kramer regularly on this program are well versed in that. You understand the parameters of the war being fought against the church and 1.3 billion who identify as being Catholic. So there we go. Father Kramer, welcome back. How are you?
Oh, great, M. Chris. Great to be back. And yes, yes, what you say. Yeah. What you're saying is entirely correct. That yes, there is a serious opposition to the Catholic religion, the Catholic faith, is unfortunately located. Its headquarters is located in the Vatican at the present time. That's the. Mm-hmm. This is something like that has never happened before in the entire history of the church. The apparatus of governance of the church, the apparatus has been taken over by the enemy. It reminds me of a passage of the Book of Lamentations where it says that the whole world and all the kings of the earth could not believe that the adversary and the enemy has entered in through the gates of Jerusalem. Yes, they have taken over the apparatus of the kingdom.
It's like a political overthrow. It's a regime is now in power.
Yes, and it can be seen in their actions that these men are imposters. They are not the successors of the apostles.
No, so that's a good word, successors. And we're talking about successors that go back 2,000 years, huh? Talk about succession.
That's right.
And keeping the church code of all of its teachings intact and protecting it against enemies various and sundry, which are antithetical to what you would call a religious orientation in life with morals and all the rest of it. Here's a little clip. I think you got this, the 60 Minutes clip. It's only 40 seconds long. The Pope addresses his conservative critics in the church. Now, for those of you new to the program, we're talking about Pope, I call him Pope Bergoglio, but it's that's not his formal name. He's a fraud. All right? He's simply a fraud. So here's what he says. I'll read it, and then I'll play it, and we'll get you to comment on this. Conservative is one who clings to something and does not want to see beyond that. It is, said the fake Pope, a suicidal attitude. Let's see what he says.
There are conservative bishops in the United States that oppose your new efforts to revisit teachings and traditions. How do you address their criticism?
You used an adjective, conservative. That is, conservative is one who clings to something and does not want to see beyond that. It is a suicidal attitude. Because one thing is to take tradition into account, to consider situations from the past, but quite another is to be closed up inside a dogmatic box.
And what's the opposite, ladies and gentlemen? A liberal communist who doesn't want to be closed up inside the box of conservatism. Conserving something that is valuable, certainly historic, and certainly that has endeared itself to 2,000 years of human beings, is not like being closed up in a box. You are conserving, preserving something that is eminently worthy and has proven itself to be worthy for two millennia. Father Kramer, go ahead.
Bergoglio, in saying those words, he has just exposed himself to be a total fraud.
Totally.
Because to say that to be conservative is to cling to, for example, a set of dogmas, to lock yourself into a dogmatic box, to cling to these things, as if he says it is suicidal. It's suicidal. He's saying that it is suicidal to follow what is the first rule of faith in the church. This goes back to the Athanasian Creed, an ancient creed in the Catholic Church. Whosoever would be saved, before all else, it is first necessary that he hold fast to the Catholic faith. And whoever is does not hold on to that faith, integral and inviolate, will perish for all eternity, undoubtedly. That's the very first rule of faith.
He was overacting when he was delivering those lines. He would lean back and smirk and hold his hands together like someone was tied up in knots with frustration or whatever. And so his view is he's a communist. Come on. We know this. Go ahead, please.
Yes. The Bergoglian belief system rejects the idea that you have to hold on to the traditions that go back to the apostles. Now, as Catholics, we always profess our belief in the faith that we have received from the apostles. It's the apostolic tradition. And during the session of the synod, the most recent session of the synod, one of the bishops even spoke openly that we have to get rid of this apostolic tradition. It's not of any use for us anymore. Which is like saying we have to get rid of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have to get rid of the apostolic teachings. There's no point in the Catholic Church even existing if it's not going to adhere to the teaching of the Church's founder, Jesus Christ. This is what Bergoglio is actually attempting to do, is to bring in a different belief system, a different religion entirely. And that's why he said his synodal church is going to be a different church, because it's not going to be the Catholic Church anymore. But he doesn't want people to know that. He wants people to think desperately that people will somehow still think that this is the Catholic Church, that it's just becoming modernized. We're just adjusting our thinking to be more in line with science, because science is the criterion for judging all things, including how we are to understand the revealed doctrine of sacred scripture. And this is entirely contrary to the entire rule of faith, which comes from the prophets and the apostles. Rule number one is that we have to hold fast to what we have received, because it is the word of God. The word of God is inviolate. It cannot, as Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ himself said, the scripture is not dissolved. The scripture cannot be canceled. You cannot cancel the scripture. But they're trying to cancel the very meaning of scripture and bring in a new meaning to the word of God, something other than what the Spirit of God himself has spoken through the apostles and prophets.
For those of you who may not, no, that's good. The word that Father Kramer used is S-Y-N-O-D, synod. And it's defined formally as an assembly of ecclesiastics or other church delegates convoked pursuant to the law of the church. It's a council. It's a get-together. It's a discussion. So they're getting together when the synod, and they're making changes is what they're doing, and they shouldn't be doing that. Here, I'll play this again just so you can... I wish you could all see it, because he's hamming it up is what he's doing. He's such an idiot. I'm not speaking for Father Kramer. I'm speaking for myself.
Your new efforts to revisit teachings and traditions, how do you address their criticism?
You used an adjective, conservative. That is, conservative is one who clings to something and does not want to see beyond that.
See, he's making a mockery of values and 2,000 years of church beliefs. The whole thing is absurd, what he's saying.
Suicidal attitude. Because one thing is to take tradition into account, to consider situations from the past, but quite another is to be closed up inside a dogmatic box.
A dogmatic box. All right. Anyway, so there you go. We have big problems in the Vatican. I don't know how we're going to resolve these as a species on the planet. This is a very big issue, the Catholic Church. What do you see happening? Is there any overt sign of a revolt at the level of bishop, at the basic church?
It is becoming more and more evident, even from Bergoglio's own words. He's becoming very onion-skinned about his critics.
Uh-huh.
One of his spokesmen just in the last few days came out and said that the problem is not about the apparitions and prophetic messages, but resistance to Francis.
They're personalizing it. Mm-hmm.
That's right. The whole thing has become his personal reaction to being rejected by the faithful of the Catholic Church, the ones who are awake enough to know that that he's peddling a false religion in the place of Catholicism. Now, just this morning, earlier today, the Vatican issued a decree on prophetic messages and apparitions, and very interesting. They seem to be saying this is Tucho Fernandez, of course, is the one who's who published that his so-called dicastery of the doctrine of the faith, and the idea is set forth that any prophetic message or any apparition message connected with an apparition with allegedly heavenly apparition that would undermine faith or confidence in the Vatican, that would not be from God. This idea was very clearly expressed in that document. What really caught my attention was that there has been in the church for many centuries. The church has examined prophetic messages when there was any kind of controversy, any question, any kind of doubt. the first thing that would be done was on the local level, the bishop of the diocese would examine. And it would be for the bishop to decide whether an apparition was something to be permitted as to be approved as being something coming from God, something of a supernatural nature, or something that is not supernatural and something that is detrimental to the faith and to the piety of the people, and therefore should be condemned, and that the faithful should shun that and avoid it. So, all right. If it would be referred to the Vatican, to the Church of Rome, it would be examined by the Holy Office, then called later on the same. The same dicastery was called the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith, and they would examine it. And the verdict would come out one way or the other, either say it is worthy of belief that it is seen to be supernatural, or they would say it is seen not to be supernatural, or if it was not that entirely clear, they would say it has not been established to be supernatural, which is not to say that it's not supernatural, but it has not been established to be supernatural, or it has not been established not to be supernatural. So they're not condemning it, but they're saying they're neither approving it nor they're condemning it, because it has not been established that it's not supernatural, but it hasn't been established that it is supernatural either. So you had these various conclusions that could be reached, and the ones that were judged to be of supernatural origin, the Church was always careful to make the pronouncement that these are not matters of faith, that what we must believe is what was revealed in the Old and the New Testament.
Okay.
So what is in that deposit of revelation, which was concluded, it was closed. The deposit of revelation was closed with the death of the last apostle. And that's why it is a closed system of belief. This dogmatic box that Bergoglio talks about, it's a closed system of belief because it is an article of faith. It is one of the most foundational tenets of our entire belief system, that the deposit of revelation was closed with the death of the last apostle, and that's why it's not something ongoing. And Bergoglio, he manifests his own heresy in that answer that he gave in that interview, as if clinging to the tradition is we have to give like consideration. We have to give some consideration to the traditions of the past, as if we are not bound to hold the apostolic tradition and reject anything that's contrary to it, because the deposit of revelation is closed. That's why it's a closed dogmatic. That's why it's a closed dogmatic box, because the deposit is closed. Revelation, divine revelation, that is of a public nature, what God has revealed for the salvation of the human race, that comes to us through the apostles and the prophets before them. So the revelation of God is transmitted to us through the apostles, the prophets, the apostles, and those that Jesus Christ appointed to be their successors. And that's why we have the authority. That's where the authority of the Church comes from. And the First Vatican Council defined for this reason, to make it clear that the Pope does not have any authority to add anything new to that deposit revelation, but only to define and clarify what is already there, what has already once been revealed. But Bergoglio turns religion into an encounter. He said in his visit to Morocco that being a Christian is not about professing any adherence to a set of doctrines, mm-hmm. but it is an encounter with Jesus Christ. Now, the man is revealing himself to be a heretic when he says this, because from the most ancient times, one was never considered a Christian. One was not allowed to be baptized into the church.
Right.
Unless the first thing they had to do was to make their profession of faith, to profess the creed. Now, what is the creed? It is a set of beliefs. It is the dogmas of the faith. It begins with the phrase, "I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord," etc. So you have what are the foundational 12 articles of faith, and that if you don't profess those articles of faith, you cannot be admitted into the church. So that is the very first thing, first and foremost, that is what defines being a Christian, mm-hmm. is your adherence to the faith. And Bergoglio is saying, no, being a Christian is not about adherence.
He mocked everything with that. Just laugh.
It's an encounter. It's an encounter with, in other words, it's your being a Christian is your own inner spiritual encounter with Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. It is not about professing the faith that was historically preached by Jesus Christ and the apostles were authorized by Jesus Christ to preach this revealed doctrine to the ends of the earth, until the ends of the world, when Jesus Christ will come again to judge the living and the dead. That's what we believe as Catholics. Bergoglio believes something different. But he won't openly reject all of the articles of faith and say, "I don't believe in the creed anymore." But what he does is individual articles of faith, he does deny them. He has proven again and again that he is not a Christian. And that's why I wrote two volumes, about 650 pages each, to explain very clearly that this man is not a Christian and he does not share the same faith as Catholics have professed since the ancient times. So this document that came out here in Ireland, we'd say yesterday morning. In the United States, we'd still say it was this morning, Friday.
Right.
This Friday morning.
Right.
It's very much like the time that the Pharisees came to Jesus with a question, and he answered, "I'll answer your question if you will answer my question." And he said, "John the Baptist, was he of God or was he only of men?" And the Pharisees could not give a straight answer because they had to politicize their considerations on how they would answer the question. And their thinking was, if we say he was of God, then Jesus would have answered to them, "Well, if you say he was from God, then why do you not do what he say? Why did he not believe him?" So they didn't want to say he was of God, but they were afraid to say he was only of man, that he was not of God, because then they would fear the people who revered him as a prophet. So the answer they gave was, "Well, we don't know." And this is the kind of answer we just got from the Vatican today. The church used to always say, if it were possible, if an apparition, the message of an apparition were to be approved, the church would say, constat de supernaturalitate, which is to say, it is established that it is supernatural. It's not a matter of faith, but as far as can be judged, this is coming from God. It is therefore worthy of belief. Now, they've changed what has been the perennial rule in this regard, and now they're just going to say, there is no obstacle. There is nothing harmful there. So that's the highest level of approval that they will make.
Got
as
it.
If you look at the church before Bergoglio, the apparition of Our Lady of Fatima, for example, it was examined by the church, and Pope John Paul II instituted the feast of Our Lady of Fatima. We go back to the 1800s.
Mm-hmm.
The same thing happened. The church instituted the feast of Our Lady of Lourdes because the church was pronouncing very clearly with authority that these apparitions are judged to be supernatural, that the faithful of the Catholic Church can venerate the Blessed Virgin under these titles, and at these places of pilgrimage, that they have the church's approval because the church regards these as supernatural. Now, they're saying they're not. That's all being taken away because they don't want to admit that these are supernatural because there are some aspects of the messages that are very unfavorable to the Vatican.
Right. Well, it would diminish their control, I see, in their mind.
Very unfavorable to, mm-hmm. to the false religion that the Vatican is now peddling. It's not stated clearly in the document because, again, like the Pharisees who were afraid of the people, that they would lose their following if they would show their faithlessness too openly. And the Vatican today does not want the people to see their own faithlessness, so they will not say what Tucho Fernandez, the so-called cardinal of made by Bergoglio, when he said some time ago that the apparitions, the messages and apparitions of the apparitions that speak of divine punishments, these dire divine punishments, that such that God doesn't reveal such things, and that God is merciful, and that God would not threaten such terrible punishments, and that any apparition that with a message that threatens these kind of terrible punishments are not from God.
Mm-hmm.
They stopped short of saying that in this document, mm-hmm. because they did not want to come across like the Pharisees were afraid of doing.
Yeah. I understand. Yeah.
That the people would see that they have no faith.
It's quite a game underway here.
Yes.
Got to be watched very carefully.
And they're suggesting, the document suggests that, well, the apparition itself might be from God, but some part of the message, the person could be somewhat delusional or whatever. Bergoglio himself says he has veneration of the of Our Lady of Fatima, the devotion to Fatima, but what is in the message of Fatima, of course, he rejects.
Does he know, do we think? He probably does. Would you think he's had access to it? Does that go with the territory, so to speak?
I'm sure he does.
Yeah. Okay. Was there today, what came out of the Vatican today? Was there a document released of some kind.
Yes.
That
yes,
we need to talk about a little bit here. Go ahead. There's supposed to be chastisements very near or perhaps underway.
The document doesn't get into that. Like I said, they were afraid. They were mm-hmm. they were afraid to explicitly mention that. But Fernandez has already explained in the past. He's given us such clear explanation of his position about apparitions that we mm-hmm. know what was the motivation for this document.
Mm-hmm.
It is to undermine the authority of heavenly messages that are being transmitted to those who have the special grace of prophecy and those who are the recipients of supernatural visitations.
Mm-hmm.
It's to undermine the message when God wants to correct the world and he gives a prophetic message to someone to give warning to the people. If that message is in contrast to what the authority figures, those who are perceived to be the authority figures of the church, are the object of the divine judgment. The Vatican wants to protect it, to insulate itself. Bergoglio wants to insulate his Vatican and himself from the divine criticism that is coming from these prophetic messages. That is the reason for this document.
Mm.
So now it is stated in the document that it is before any bishop can give his seal of approval on an apparition, it must be submitted to the Vatican, and that the Vatican must be the overseer of any judgment.
Ah, so they're going to certify or not certify. They're going to call the shots.
This is the double standard of the Vatican. It is mm-hmm. so glaring now. They're talking about synodality, which is to decentralize the church, and that the synods of bishops and the local churches are to be the seat of the authority in the church, and that this whole idea of a monolithic monarchical papacy is to give way to a more generalized, more democratic, as it were, principle of synodality. But synodality is not used for destroying the traditions of the past. For destroying the faith of the church that has been professed in the past, to destroy that faith, that semblance of papal authority is used as a bludgeon to beat down the religion of the past. And that's what Bergoglio's Vatican is doing with this document. Now they're saying, synodality aside, it is the Bergoglian Vatican that's going to have the final pronouncement, yes or no, over any apparition. So synodality goes out the window when it comes to bludgeoning and destroying the faith of the past.
Is this going to be retroactive, Father Kramer? Are they going to try and go back and somehow water down the three Fatima prophecies? Is that what they're planning to do? They're going to go backwards, or just from here on out?
It's very clear the way Tucho Fernandez speaks in this document. It's very clear that that's the intention, because he talks about an apparition that took place. I think he mentioned there that it was investigated in the 1950s. And he says that it was condemned, and then the bishop approved it later on, and then it was condemned again. And that we're trying to avoid this kind of thing. This is nonsense. And anyone who knows the story can see through it. Now, he was careful not even to mention what apparition he was talking about.
I got it.
Because that would be too controversial to mention what he was talking about.
But we do think he was talking about Fatima. Is that what you're getting at here? No.
No, he was talking about another apparition where it was Our Lady of Lipa. In Lipa, she said, "My message here is the same as my message at Fatima."
I don't know anything about this apparition, so I don't know what to comment here. What do you make of it?
I will mention this. Two things. The bishop who ordained me a deacon back in 1978 was Godofredo Pedernal. Mm-hmm. Now, Bishop Pedernal was a priest in that diocese of Lipa when the apparition took place. So he had he was an eyewitness of the events that took place there. And it was the apostolic nuncio who was at the beck and call of these modernist people in the Vatican, like Giovanni Battista Montini and such. They wanted that to be condemned. In other words, before any investigation could be conducted, they already had a verdict in their mind, politically motivated verdict, because to approve of this apparition, which spoke of the Virgin Mary being the mediatress of all grace, they thought that this would be an obstacle to their agenda for ecumenism in the church. So it was politically motivated, entirely politically motivated. They wanted to have ecumenical relations with other churches and other religions, and they thought this apparition, the approval of this apparition, would be a threat to ecumenism. So it had to be snuffed out and had to be suppressed. They used threats of excommunication. They wanted the local authorities, the bishops in the Philippines, were the ones who were told that they must condemn it. They didn't have the courage to make a pronouncement on their own. They said to the bishops, "You are the ones who have to condemn it." So they're saying, "You investigate it, but you don't make a judgment. You make a judgment that we tell you to make. And our judgment is a verdict already formulated before any investigation is conducted." Just the incredible hypocrisy of these people. The bishop of the Archbishop of Lipa at the time was the man who became Cardinal Santos.
Okay.
Cardinal Rufino Santos. He believed in the apparition, and when he died, he was buried, he was wearing around his neck the miraculous rose petal around his neck. There were these showers of rose petals in the Vatican. Uh-huh. They were claiming at the Vatican's instigation, they were claiming that this was fraudulent, that somehow this novice nun was orchestrating this supernatural manifestation. Bishop Pedernal said he was there at Lipa during the time of the apparition, and he and many others described how the rose petals just fell down from the sky. And Bishop Pedernal said he saw with his own eyes, in midair, out of thin air, an entirely fully formed rose just came into being and floated to the ground.
Yeah, that's quite a vision.
This is obviously not a novice nun who is orchestrating some kind of fraud with some air blower blowing petals out of her window. This is the nonsense, but this is the nonsensical idea they were trying to promote. Now, the other thing was that there's Archbishop Edmundo Abaya. He was the Archbishop of Lawak in the north of the Philippines. He was a seminarian at the time of the apparitions. And he had a cousin, 7-year-old cousin, who had a double reverse club foot, which is the worst kind of foot deformation you can have. The double reverse club foot is the worst kind that you can have. She could not walk. She had to be carried to school. She was absolutely lame. So
this is well documented.
Oh yes. And I spoke with her for like 2.5 hours. I spoke with her at length and got the entire story from the person herself. Her name was her name is, I think she's still alive, Sister Melania Sunga. She was the 7-year-old cousin of the future Archbishop Archbishop Abaya. I think he was I think he was 14 years old at the time, a seminarian, and his cousin Melania was 7. She was the one with the club foot. He took the rose petals, I think the water from the spring in Lipa, where the apparition took place. He brought them home, brought them to the north, and he gave it to the little girl's parents. And during the night, in the middle of the night, the mother had put the petals into the water. And while the little girl was asleep, she washed the club, the deformed foot.
Yes.
And then she went back downstairs. About 7 o'clock in the morning, the little girl is walking down the stairs for breakfast. She's walking down the stairs with a perfectly formed foot. There's no sign of the deformity, nothing. Now, this is a miracle of biblical proportions.
And you talked to this little girl as an adult and heard the whole story directly from her.
Yes, she was a professed nun for more than 40 years when I spoke to her.
How did she describe that night, Father Kramer? I'd like to hear. Did she express anything about awareness of a healing that took place? Anything at all? Or did she just wake up and it was fine?
That's right. She just woke up. She was asleep when her mother did that to her. Washed the foot with the water, with the petals from the apparition. Mm-hmm. So she was totally unaware of what was happening. Mm. She just woke up, got out of bed, and walked downstairs.
Wow. It's quite a story.
But the Vatican is saying that this is that the apparition is not supernatural. That that the whole thing was fraudulent. It's just ridiculous. It's how desperate these people are.
Yeah, I understand. I do. This guy Fernandez Trucho is getting a lot of press as having made a serious impact in the Vatican. He's a real manipulator. This guy. I don't know how he was placed there. He comes from Argentina, as does Bergoglio, so they obviously knew each other for quite some time, I would guess. They had to.
Yes. Oh, yes, indeed, because Fernandez, I think he was the bishop of La Plata, but before him, there was a bishop who was very critical of the heretical beliefs of Bergoglio, and he was very outspoken against the heresy of Bergoglio, and so Bergoglio in that engineered election in 2015 takes over the Vatican, and unlike some other bishops, like Cardinal Marx in Germany, who submitted his resignation, and it had never been accepted. He's still he's still in power. The Bishop of La Plata, within hours, that at age 75 he had to submit, by law, had to submit his resignation, within hours, his resignation was accepted. So,
well, it's all scripted in advance. So they knew what they were going to do to him. They did it.
And he was replaced by Tucho Fernandez.
Yeah. Well, and then power politics, a lot of inside and outside of traditional politics. Doesn't matter where you are. Where there's power, there's intrigue. And in this case, it's very dark. This is not good.
Yes, indeed.
There's a lot of talk about this is important. Let me find the story here. There's a lot of talk about a Russian submarine allegedly firing off or going to launch missiles off the coast of California, heading west, not targeting the U.S., but right off international waters, and big controversy about that. Well, it's nothing to do with that. It has to do with a Russian rocket booster that put a payload into space, and it may come back down to Earth in the zone where Russia is warning people to be aware of and to be careful. Airspace over a swath of the Pacific Ocean off the coast of Baja California is being closed for the next 10 days because of the re-entry of a Russian space launch booster. This comes from two U.S. defense officials. I just want you all to know that. So it's being misrepresented by a lot of people, as these things are. Rumor will start, and it just takes on a life of its own. Anyhow, thank you for that time. I just wanted to mention that, Father Kramer, before we wrapped it up.
Well, it's understandable that that people would
jump to the conclusion. Oh, yeah. Well, this whole Hate Russia campaign has been going on for how many years now? And it's paying dividends. They've got a lot of people who think that Russia is bad. And anyway, nothing could be further from the truth, really. It's America that's the problem now, the formerly United States. So there we go. All right, go ahead.
They want to have war with Russia. This is insane.
They are absolutely pushing for war with Russia. Americans seem to be, by and large, almost unable to relate to the catastrophe of a nuclear war. They can't process it. It's not showing in the media anyway. There's just no real overt fear that I'm able to pick up. They should be frightened out of their socks. This is crazy. They keep crossing every red line that Putin lays down, and considering that nothing has happened yet, I'm hopeful that they'll hold that position, the Russians, and not unleash. They have every reason now to take serious action, including tactical nuclear weapon usage. They have every reason. Many Russians have been killed by Ukrainian missiles that are American missiles given to them, and they're firing them into Russia, into Belgorod, for example. They're killing lots of civilians up there. They killed several dozen the other day, I think. At any rate, it's a bad situation. Not getting better.
These delusional ideologues have been in the State Department for a long time, yeah, going back even to the 90s.
Bureaucrats, too long.
Paul Wolfowitz and those people, that gang, they used to call them the crazies.
I'd second that right now. They're crazier than ever. No, they get embedded in there, and the new presidents don't broom them out. They need to, if new presidents have much power, really, anyway. Most of the bureaucracy in the government of the United States doesn't change from administration to administration. Most of the bureaucracy remains the same.
And they groom their own successors, so the same craziness just perpetuates itself.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Exactly right. Do you see anything coming soon from your position in your experience, anything we need to be concerned about in terms of planetary or geopolitical strife or anything that is not planned, not normal? Anything coming?
I foresee a major war breaking out because of the situation of what has been taking place with Ukraine. Mm-hmm. And that may escalate further with a major event to take place in the Middle East that will set off a world war. That's what I see coming very, very soon.
I can't argue that. I wouldn't. And I think you're very pragmatic in that analysis. We will see what happens. Thank you, Father Kramer, very much. A fascinating conversation, as always. We'll talk again soon. You be safe out there.
I know.
Okay. Father Paul Kramer. All right. There we are. Friday night, we wrap up another week. Have a good weekend. Have a productive weekend. And if Father Kramer and many others are correct, we are heading for war. Prepare. Talk soon. Take care.